Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, Peter says this, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Hey, do you have a special gift known as a spiritual gift? Do you know what it is? And are you using it to serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God? Well, I am in the studio today with my wife, Debbie. Debbie, welcome.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
It's Wednesday. She's pretty good about
day.
She's good about coming to the studio on Wednesday, and we want to talk today about spiritual gifts. I'm doing a series at First Baptist Texarkana, started it a couple of weeks ago, on spiritual gifts. And it's something that lots of people have told me, or some people have told me, I've never heard a sermon series on spiritual gifts. And some people are familiar with it, others are not very familiar with it. But the Bible makes it clear, if you're a Christian, if you have been born again, if the Spirit of God lives in your heart, you have not only the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of Jesus living inside of you, but you also have a spiritual gift that God has given you, a spiritual enablement to do the ministry, this specific ministry that God has called you to do. So as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards, good managers of the manifold grace of God.
Yeah, spiritual gifts are exciting, too, when you think about it, because who doesn't love a gift, right? I mean, I think most of us,
even if
that is not your love language, we all like to receive gifts. So just knowing that as a true believer in Jesus Christ, the moment that that takes place, you have been given a gift. It's kind of fun to think through all the different ones and just kind of think, okay, I can really resonate with this gift. Because it's normally something that you enjoy doing. It's not just like burdensome to you, right? Because that wouldn't necessarily be a good gift. And we know that God gives good gifts.
Right. Well, and you have, I have a book in my hands called 19 Gifts of the Spirit by a man named Leslie Flynn. Which do you have and are you using them? So for lots of Christians, they don't know how they've been gifted. They don't know what they have. I said this, and it's so true. It's better to not know your spiritual gift and use it than to know what it is and not use it. So for many Christians, they're serving in lots of capacities. They may not know how they're gifted, but they're not letting the grass grow under their feet.
Well, and I think all of us, if we're honest, we have engaged in some kind of Christian activity at our church or maybe at an outside ministry or whatever, and we have quickly come to see, man, I just don't enjoy this. I'm not good at it. I kind of dread having to do this. And that's one way to kind of eliminate the fact that that's probably not your gifting. You know, I am by training, I got my degree in secondary education. That's because junior high school kids and above feel real comfortable with. But if I had to work in a kindergarten classroom, I would have to be hooked up to some kind of IV drip providing me with some kind of calming medication, because that just is not in my bag of tricks. That is just not how God has wired me. And then there are other people that I know. I remember going to school with this one girl that was like, if I thought I had to get up and stand up in front of a room of junior high or high school students, I would just as soon pass out and be dead, you know, because that just would rack her nerves so badly. And so we're just all gifted so differently. And the beautiful thing about it is when we come together in the body of Christ, it's completeness that is brought about by all these different giftings.
Yeah. So Paul makes the analogy about the body. There's one body, but your body has lots of members, and you have two hands and two feet and two legs and two arms and two eyes and two ears. And he says, you know, because the hand isn't a foot, it's not any less a part of the body, because the eye is not an ear. It's not any less a part of the body. He said, if everybody were an eye, where would the hearing be? If everybody were an ear, where would the seeing be? And so God has placed the members in the body as it has pleased him, as he desires. And so whatever your gift might be. Now, one of the things that's important to remember is everybody has natural gifts and talents when God created
you. Just wired into your into your bent.
Right. And so Christian or non-Christian, you have things that you're passionate about and good at, and things that you're not passionate about and not good at. Some people are really good at sports, and some people couldn't give a rip about sports. I mean, that's just so far off the radar screen. It's like, I don't care about this. But a spiritual gift isn't a natural talent. A spiritual gift is something that the Holy Spirit enables you to do. Sometimes it coincides with your natural talents, but other times it doesn't. I used 2 weeks ago, I used me as an illustration saying, hey, my natural bent is not to speak in public.
Yeah, I mean, I almost didn't go out with you because you didn't talk.
I was so quiet.
And so introverted.
If there were more than three or four people in a room, I was just going to clam up because I would get so nervous. You know, in school, if you had to do a book report before the class, an oral book report, is like, good grief, give me a zero. I just don't want to do this. I remember in college, you had to take, for my degree plan, I got a degree in business administration from the University of Texas, and you had to take a speech class. And so I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. You have to get up and give speeches in front of people. And so I found a class that was just about the kind of the philosophy of speech and persuasion and that kind of thing. You didn't have to give speeches. And so I said, I'm going to do that class because I just hated it. Whereas other people, they just love it. And man, get me up in front. So, you know, I look at, and my mom says this to me periodically, I just can't believe you do what you do.
Right.
Because you're just not, you're not like that in your natural personality.
Now, I remember when you got your first outside sales job, just thinking, and I was sitting at the kitchen table with your mom and dad in their house, and I don't remember where you were. You might have been outside with one of your brothers or something, but I remember us all talking about the fact that it was like, well, but Debbie, you have a job, so if this doesn't work out for Jeff, you know, y'all will at least be able to pay your bills, because the three of us together were like, oh, this was probably not the best choice for him to be an outside sales because he is just so incredibly introverted, but you excelled at it. And that, as you look back on your life, that was God's prep class for you in so many ways, to get you to step outside of yourself and to be more extroverted and to kind of learn some of those behaviors.
Well, spiritual gifts are listed. So in this book, 19 Gifts of the Spirit, we're familiar with a lot of the more miraculous type gifts, the sign gifts. Speaking in tongues is a gift you hear a lot about. And that was a gift that God gave, an authenticating gift. The sign gifts, signs, wonders, miracles, healings, those were authenticating gifts. Jesus did all of those, cast out demons, raised the dead, calmed the raging sea, fed the multitude with a little kid's lunch. I mean, he was doing miracles everywhere he went. Now, when he went to heaven, ascended to heaven, he told them, wait for until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now, in the apostolic era, you had lots of sign gifts. And what is a sign gift? A sign gift is to authenticate the message. The New Testament was being written during the first century, and so they needed those sign gifts. Now, I'm one of those that believe that once the sign gifts fulfilled their purpose, then they ceased. And so they were with the apostles, and especially in the early part establishing the church, and then there was no need for those sign gifts anymore. And so, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, tongues will cease. And so prophecy, the gift of prophecy, preaching, and the gift of teaching, and all those things, those go on until the the perfect comes. It says when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. And the perfect is going to be when we're in heaven. Nobody's preaching in heaven. Nobody's teaching in heaven. We're going to know as we are known. But Romans chapter, and just to let you know, not everybody believes the way I do about that. So that's okay. You know, we good and godly people can disagree on things like that. That's not a test of fellowship. But this is what it says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 6. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, so prophecy is a gift, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Seven gifts are mentioned there. None of them are sign gifts. The gift of prophecy that's mentioned, now that can be a sign. That can be to foretell the future. Old Testament prophets did a lot of foretelling, but they also did forthtelling. And many people believe the gift of prophecy would be another way of saying the gift of preaching. And preaching and teaching are key gifts, very important gifts, because that's how we grow, to explain the scripture. When we come to church, if you didn't have anybody who had the gift of preaching or the gift of teaching, it would be a difficult experience, because people would be handling the Bible that good and godly people, but if they're not gifted to teach, it would be very dry.
Right. And we talked about the fact that, you know, just because you have the gift of teaching doesn't mean you have the gift of teaching to teach absolutely anyone. You know, you may be gifted to teach a certain age group, like right. We just talked about. And, you know, it's interesting, Jeff, because we were doing a spiritual gift test this past weekend, and we were doing it together. And when it came to the gift of prophecy, I think there were 24 mm-hmm. questions. And out of the 24, if I remember right, for sure there was 22 that applied to you. And I'm thinking maybe there was even 23. So it was like, it was just overwhelming that was your number one
spiritual
gift, yeah. Was that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right underneath that was teaching. Mm-hmm. And so,
kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. And the Bible makes it clear for a pastor, he has to be able to teach. And so teaching is critical for a man to pastor the church of God. If you can't teach, your job as a shepherd is to lead and feed. You might be a good leader, but if you're not a good feeder of the sheep, then they're going to start starving. And so you have to be able to teach. And, you know, lots of people in the ministry aren't good with that, mm-hmm. but they're good at serving. Mm-hmm. They're good with showing mercy. They have a lot of that gift. And so they can do hospital visits, and they can commiserate with those who have lost loved ones, and they're able to do a funeral and that kind of thing, and really minister mm-hmm. To people who are hurting, because that is their gift. And so whatever your gift is, as each one has received a special gift, employ it, use it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And God loves to paint. That manifold grace means very colored. God loves to paint with lots of different colors. One body, but many members in one body. Each member does not have the same function, but your body, when it works together and everything is hitting on all eight cylinders, man, you are at peak performance.
Well, and that's why it's so important to be connected to a local body of believers. Your church needs you. They need you to be there. They need you to be exercising your spiritual gifts so that within the body of Christ, there's completeness and there's wholeness there. And so often we can think that, oh, you know, I can just do church on my own without yeah. being connected in. And can you do that for a time period? Sure. You know, you're sick, you're homebound, whatever it may be. But as a rule, God designed us to be in fellowship with one another. And it is in that fellowship together, using our gifts, mm-hmm. that we bring completeness and wholeness.
Yeah, the church is the assembling of the body of Christ. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my beautiful wife, Debbie. And we're talking about spiritual gifts. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? And are you using it to build up the body of Christ, to be a blessing to other people? So this is going to be a fascinating discussion. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about spiritual gifts, but I want to make a comment. There is a pastor appreciation dinner coming up in Tupelo, Mississippi at the headquarters for American Family Radio, American Family Association, and it is Tuesday night, March 26th at 6:30. It is a free dinner and an evening with Debbie and myself. We're going to be there, and we're going to be speaking to pastors and their wives about keeping your marriage strong and vibrant as you serve in ministry. That can be difficult, and pastors face different challenges as they live in a fishbowl and as they conduct their ministry. And I've said on many occasions, hey, as a Christian, your greatest witness is your marriage and family. And so for a pastor, if he's having any kind of difficulty or struggle, that can be very, very hard. So we would love for you to come and to be a part. You can sign up at AFA Events, and it is Tuesday night, March 26th at 6:30 p.m. at the Tupelo headquarters, and Debbie and I are going to be sharing about how to keep your marriage strong. And Debbie, anything to say about that?
We're just going to hope we figure that out by Tuesday, right?
Yeah, so Sweet Tea and Biscuits will be catering the dinner, and
that sounds fun.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's exclusive for pastors and their wives at absolutely no cost. And so, pastors, come and bring your wife, sign up, bring your wife. There are still seats available, and so we would love to meet you. We'd love to get to greet you and hopefully minister to you and encourage you in your marriage. Well, we're talking about spiritual gifts, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So every Christian has a spiritual gift. Every person has talents from the Lord, saved or unsaved, but a saved person, when the Holy Spirit comes in, that person not only gets the Holy Spirit of God, which is the greatest gift anyone could get, God living inside of you, but God living inside of you also gives you an endowment, a gift. It's undeserved and unearned. It's a grace gift. Charismata is the Greek word. And this grace gift, this spiritual, that is something special that you can do in the body of Christ. And Paul mentions it in Romans. It could be prophecy, preaching, it could be service, it could be teaching, it could be exhortation, which is encouraging other believers, it could be giving, it could be leading and administration and seeing how things should be set up, it could be mercy, could be hospitality. Lots of ladies have that gift, the gift of hospitality. It can be evangelism. You know, that's an office in the church, the office of the evangelist, but it's also a gift. God gives certain people just this ability to share Christ and to lead people to Christ. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist, but some people have that special gift. Billy Graham always comes to mind as somebody that has that special gift and now Franklin is following in his father's footsteps. But those are special gifts that God gives. Service is one, Debbie, that sometimes people say, well, I don't really have anything, but they love to serve behind the scenes. Service is a really key, important spiritual gift.
Yes, as being on staff at a church, we would just be not able to accomplish anything were it not for people having the gift of service, because we can't do all of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the larger your church is, the more people with the gift of service need to step up and take on some of those responsibilities and those roles. And, you know, the people that do have that gifting, they just kind of see it. I mean, they kind of see where they can be used, and they see a void and they think, okay, hey, I can help with that. And we have so many people that are like that in our church. And in fact, we are tomorrow, just for those of you who don't know, is Pi Day, P-I Day, like 3.14. And so as a ministry with our ladies, we are taking 14 homemade pies to a local medical business here in town. And I just immediately thought of about 7 or 8 women that have that gift of service that I knew I could call on that would be happy to leap in and make those pies. And so it's like, if you have that gift, there is always a place for you to serve. And it may take you a while to find where that exact niche is in your church, but just to be ready and available to do that and to serve in just any capacity, man, those people are so greatly needed to advance the kingdom. That is such an important gift.
Really is. You know, think about a spiritual gift. If you're not sure what yours is, I always tell people this. I say, well, start serving in a capacity, whether it's, hey, I'll substitute teach, or I'll serve here, or I'll work in the nursery, I'll work in the children's ministry or in the student ministry. I just start plugging in. Mm-hmm. You find out when you start doing that, I like this or I don't like this. I'm good at this or I'm not good at this. Debbie, we had a friend, Bo Carrillo, and I still remember he had to lead a life group, he and his wife, and he was the leader of it and he was the teacher of it. And that was not his spiritual gift.
His wife was gifted in that
way. She was good at that, but he was not. And he was always so excited whenever life group got canceled for a holiday or something like that. Uh-huh. Yes, we don't have life group. And it's not that he didn't like the group. He didn't like leading the group. He didn't like teaching. That wasn't his mm-hmm. gift. And so one of the ways you can determine what is my spiritual gift, you know, obviously you pray and say, Lord, I don't know how you've gifted me. But here is, I want to know, because I want to use that. You don't want to be the guy, in the book of Matthew, Jesus told a parable, Matthew 25, about the three slaves that he entrusted his possessions to. One got 5 talents, one got 2 talents, and one got 1 talent. And the 5-talent guy made 5 talents more. The 2-talent guy made 2 talents more. The 1-talent guy buried it in the ground. He didn't do anything with what the master had entrusted to him. And the master came back and called him a wicked, lazy slave. Listen, as a Christian, you want to ask the Lord, Lord, how have you gifted me? And how can I use this? And so, listen, it's hard to steer a parked car. You have to get out there. As you get out there, God will guide you into the ministry that he has wired you for and gifted you for. And you'll know this, when you're operating out of your spiritual gift, it's something that you like doing. It's something that you're good at doing. And it's something that other people like when you do it. So if you think you have the gift of teaching and no one has the gift of listening, hey, newsflash, you don't have the gift of teaching, because if it's boring as dry toast, that's not your gift. If you say, I have the gift of hospitality, and you invite people over to your house and you want to entertain strangers, and it's just a total train wreck, that's probably not your gift. And if you hate it, you think, why did I do this? I can't stand that. Because Debbie, you have, that's one of your gifts. You have a lot of gifts, but hospitality is one of your gifts.
I was just thinking as you were telling that story about a situation with my mom. My mom did not have that gift. And we were having...
She probably felt pressured.
As a pastor's wife, she felt very pressured to have that gift, but she absolutely did not have it. And so we were having some people over for dinner. This was when I was like, I think in junior high or high school. And I got home from school and the kitchen looked like just a bomb had exploded in it. And nothing was really completed. She was just panicked over this dessert that she had already tried several different attempts and had to throw things away. And so I said, Mom, just let me do it. And so, like, lickety split, I had a pie made for her. because I am gifted in that area. And so, you know, it is important. There are times when we are called upon to do things that are not within our gifting, right? And so we go ahead and we step up and we do those. But there is a big difference when we are working within our gifting.
Right.
Big difference.
So we have a dear friend, Louis Miori. He's the counselor at Champion Forest Baptist Church in Houston. He and I have been great friends for many, many years. And there would be times when we were on staff together. Dr. DeMond Shook was the pastor. And DeMond would say, "Hey, Louis, I want you to preach on Wednesday night."
Oh, poor guy.
And it would just freak him out because that wasn't his gift.
But he was really good at it.
He was good at it, but putting it together and doing it was just brutal.
Right.
And he would just, I remember he going into his office and he just had page after page after page of notes. And he's just staring at this like he's at the base of Mount Everest. He's like, "How do I put this together?" Well, the way I'm wired and gifted, it's just like, oh, well, you have this point and this point and this point and this goes under that and this illustration goes under point two. And I could just put it all together for him, you know, in like 10 minutes. And he's like, "How do you do that?" And it's just like, "Why? Well, I just see it. It's just, and that, how do, where does that come from? That comes from the Lord. That's a gift from the Lord." And so he was operating outside of his gift. Now, you can operate outside of your gift. It doesn't mean it's going to be terrible, but what it does mean is it's going to be very, very difficult for you to do it. Because that's not how you're wired.
Right.
So somebody without the gift of hospitality, they can pull off a gathering at their house, and it can be good, but they're not going to enjoy doing that at all.
Right.
It'll totally wear them out.
It'll totally wipe them out and cause them a lot of stress, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Yeah, definitely.
And so, you know, when you think about, like, how about the spiritual gift of mercy? A mercy person just feels things deeply, and they feel for the person that is hurting, the person that lost a loved one, the person that is going through a difficult time. They're able to commiserate with them. They're able to show the compassion of God to that hurting person. That is such a key gift. Now, that is not a good gift to put in charge of things, because that gift needs to be balanced with prophecy, with truth. You know, a person with mercy can give away the store and not step back and think, "Wait a minute, what is good?" And a person with mercy, if they're not careful, they can be enablers.
Right.
And you can't do that, because that's not good for the person long term. So all these gifts work together, just like, you know, if your hand just said, "Hey, I'm sick of being part of the body. I'm just going to go out and be a hand." What do you have then? You have cousin it, not cousin it, thing.
Yeah,
right. Thing. Thing was just a hand. And that doesn't work. What is that? So you can't be disconnected from the body. You can't be just this eye that says, "I'm going out on my own. I'm going rogue." Well, you're just rolling everywhere you go, and you're just a big eye. So we all work together, and as we work together, the church is blessed. The Christians grow, and then you're able to be the salt and light God wants you to be.
Well, let's talk for a minute about that gift of leading or administration, because that is probably one of my top gifts is the administration part. And I know that together I help you so much with that, because that's not one of your giftings. And so I can look at a situation and just see what needs to be done, and I can look into it and think, okay, I'm going to preemptively do X, Y, and Z so we don't have a problem down the road with this. And I think I'm able to just think through those processes really easily. And I remember one time we were, I don't remember if we were moving, we were cleaning, what we were doing, but you got so distracted by looking through all these cards that you had. And I remember saying, "Jeff, there's time for that later. Right now we've got to get these things done." I know early in our marriage, you recognized my gift of administration, so it wasn't that, but I don't think you had learned at that time to necessarily appreciate it to the level that you appreciate it now, because you see that I shore you up in that area. And so I think oftentimes in marriages, God puts people together with different giftings, and it's to shore each other up. And that's what we do in the body of Christ as well, because everyone's not going to be gifted the same. If everyone was gifted in administration, it would be like too many chiefs and not enough Indians, right?
Right.
And so it's just interesting how, you know, because one of the definitions that you read, and I'm not going to have this worded exactly right, this was in not Sunday, but the Sunday before, that spiritual gifts are special abilities from the Holy Spirit. They are extraordinary endowments that are given sovereignly and undeservedly to believers as instruments for Christian service and church edification.
Right.
And so it's so important that we do learn what those gifts are, because that's what makes everything function properly, and that's what brings health and unity to the body of Christ.
Well, remember this too, and this has to do with the sign gifts that people get so enamored with. Speaking in tongues is something that so many people are praying for, longing for. They can get manipulated with that. Remember this, gifts are not toys. They're tools. Tools for the edification, tools to use to build up one another. They're not for you. Your gifts are not for you, they're for me and for the body of Christ. My gifts are not for me, they're for you and for the body of Christ. And so anything that would become a toy, that would be, well, this is just for me. You hear people say that about, well, this is my private prayer language. It's like, okay, well, tongues in the Bible were known languages that could be interpreted. That would be a blessing. As it says in Acts 2, we hear them speaking of the mighty deeds of God in our native language. And these are Galileans. They wouldn't know this language. So that was a miracle. And what did that cause them to say? What does this mean? And Peter preached, and they responded. So the tongues are for a sign, as the scripture says, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Spiritual gifts are tools to help us grow, not toys to play with. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with Debbie. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call and let's talk. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. She always tends to show up on Wednesdays, and that's a special, special day for us when Debbie comes. I get more people saying, I really like your program, but I really like it when Debbie's on.
Oh, dear.
And so when we spoke with Family Life Ministries for 15 years, people would comment, you know, we would always get evaluations, and she would always beat me in evaluations for speaking and So
look at you using a gift of exhortation just right now. Prime example.
Yeah, it was kind of a joke that, of course. And even on my evaluation, they say, yeah, well, Jeff was pretty good, but I loved his wife, Debbie. So anyway, it's a fun time. But we are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question about spiritual gifts, or a comment, we would love to take your call. That's what we've been talking about today. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We do not want to bury our gift in the ground. And gift or gifts, God often gives more than one gift to us. We want to use those to be a blessing, to build up the body of Christ. So we're going to the phone lines, and we have Ann on the line from Mississippi. Ann, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. My question is just short and sweet. Is singing before the congregation, special music, is that considered a gift?
Yeah, good question, Ann. I think it would. It's not listed as a gift, but I think that your spiritual gift can come out in that. So, no doubt, I was talking to the staff just the other day, and I said I mentioned a guy's name, and I said, you know, when he would lead worship, I said it was just obvious he was gifted to do that. And so, I think that you can sense this person has a special touch of God on his life when he sings and when he leads the congregation. And singing, that can be a gift of exhortation that comes out through music. And so even though music is not listed as a spiritual gift, I think God obviously works through that. And I, you know, probably all the spiritual gifts are not listed in the scripture. The lists are not the same. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we get a list. In Romans 12, we get a list. In Ephesians 4, we get a list. And so they're not all the same. Prophecy and teaching are in all those lists, but they're not all the same. So I think there can be room in there. And if you know, if you have a passion, you have an ability to sing. Some people have a natural talent, obviously, for singing, and unbelievers, that's not their spiritual gift. That's just a natural talent that God gave them. But others, they may not sing all that great, but man, the Lord ministers through that person, and that would definitely be a gift.
Right, and I think you can see the difference when you're in a worship service, when you listen to different people, the countenance of those that it's truly all about Jesus and those that it's maybe not all about Jesus, partly about Jesus, but not all about him. It's kind of like, I'm pretty good at this and I like doing this. You know, you can see a difference and you can sense a difference in those situations. And I think it does encourage, and I think especially for those of us who are wired to receive through music, and that is just a major form of worship and connection to the Lord for us, is that we do that through music. Man, you can really be a minister to people when you're serving in that gifting that God has given you to do.
Yeah, and you can be you can have a spiritual gift. Let's say you have the gift of preaching or teaching, and if you're doing that in the flesh, and you're not filled with God's Spirit when you open the Word and start teaching people, that's a dangerous thing. The Scripture says in James chapter 3, verse 1, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such you shall incur a stricter judgment." So we have to be very, very careful when we operate our gifts that we're operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and yielded to the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, it is sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. And 12 and 14 all talk about spiritual gifts. And the Corinthians were using their gifts, toys for amusement and weapons for fighting. And they had this, my gift is better than your gift and I'm better than you are. And God has, you know, elevated me, and that's not the purpose of spiritual gifts at all. We're one body, and all the members don't have the same function, but all the members are important. You know, obviously, you know, in your body, your little toe gets covered up and is not as prominent as your eyes, let's say. But that doesn't mean that you should cut off your little toe. Your little toe is important, and God made a little toe to be a little toe. And so we want to fulfill those, the place where God put us in the body, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and use those gifts for His glory. So I appreciate that question, and very good. Well, we have Joe in Indiana. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
This is Joe in North Carolina.
Oh, Joe in North Carolina. I'm sorry, I had two Joes on the board.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll make this real quick. Let me give you, I want to share with your audience out there that are, you know, trigger shy in public speaking, but see the importance of it like I did in grade school. I knew one day I'd have to learn public speaking and become quite adept at it. And ultimately, I'm not bragging or anything, I did, but I follow a regimen in high school where when you're allowed to choose electives, you know, outside of like algebra and English and stuff like that, I would take anything related to public speaking as far as my elective classes. That helped immensely. And then if your high school has a public speaking contest club, in which it's interscholastic, you go among other schools in various ways. You can go into debate, you can go into extemporaneous speaking, etc. There's many different categories. That was very helpful as well. And then lastly, before I hang up, Toastmasters International, you don't want to bypass that. You join up with that, and you got folks, you're always going to have a pro within the club there. And Toastmasters has got a club everywhere, all 50 states, just about every county. You can't miss out on locating one. So I just share with that. And it's, like I say, it's done wonders for me. Only thing I warn folks about, though, is when they see how far you've excelled in the ability to public speak, you're going to get a lot of engagements, a lot of tapping on the shoulder. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you know, beware and employ time management and kind of go from there. But I love it. You know, you said that when you were growing up, you hated it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I always liked it. Like I say, since grade school, you know, I was the spring butt of the class, you know, when the teacher would ask questions, things like that. And, you know, so those are my suggestions,
yeah.
You know, especially for the high schoolers. Follow that route early. It'll pay dividends in the long run.
Well, that's a good point, Joe. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that that's your spiritual gift. But as Joe said, it's important to be able to stand up and speak up in public. Some people are petrified. They are scared to death to do that. And so the longer you wait and you say, I don't want to do that, don't want to do that, don't want to do that, it just gets harder and harder. And you don't want to limit yourself because, you know, obviously not everybody's called to stand up and preach at the day of Pentecost as Peter did, but we need to be able to stand up when we're called upon and speak and, you know, make our voice heard for the Lord, especially in this day and age, and call people to repentance. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily have to be your spiritual gift, but it is something that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, of fear, but of power and love and discipline. And to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to overcome this fear so that I can stand up and speak up when I'm called upon for you. And so, yeah, we can do those things that Joe mentioned to help us with that, because really public speaking is you get better and better at it the more that you do it and you overcome that fear. So God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling in. And we do have Joe on the line in Indiana. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Jeff and your lovely wife, Debbie. I just wanted to let you know that there's a book and study guide. I did a class on that subject that you're speaking of today by Don and Katie Fortune. Mm-hmm. It's called Discover Your God-Given Gifts. It includes some things to write down, you know, as far as it's similar to a Myers-Briggs test, if you're mm-hmm. familiar with that.
Right.
And you go through the list, and it kind of measures your tendencies and your proclivities toward a certain behavior, and then you're able to kind of determine what you're more likely to be, what are more likely to be your gifts. It's a great study guide, and I'd advise everybody to look at that for trying to find out what their spiritual gifts are.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
I have not. I know there are a lot of different ones out there. We took the one, Focus on the Family. If you type into the search bar, Focus on the Family Spiritual Gifts, there comes up a good test that's based off of Romans 12. So those seven different gifts that are listed in Romans 12, and that can be a good one too. But there's several good ones. And it is, you know, it's not critical that you know your spiritual gift. It's critical that you use your spiritual gift. And here's the thing, too. The longer you grow as a Christian, the more you kind of see that those areas that God calls us to be a witness. You don't have to have the gift of evangelism to witness. God calls us to be givers. You don't have to have the gift of giving to do that. You're going to grow in those areas. And so the more you learn about the scripture, you're able to share that with other people. Every mom and every dad is a teacher of his own children, and so that may not be your spiritual gift, but you learn how to do that. There is going to be one or two things that you are really good at, and that's just going to be your natural environment. And so I think that it is a good thing to know what your spiritual gift is. It is even more important to employ whatever God has given you and your passion and your giftedness, even if you say, well, I'm not sure what that is, but you're serving, and God will use you in a great way. So very good. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate you calling in with that. And so discover your God-given gifts by the Fortunes. You can check that book out. Well, Debbie, this Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana, we're going to finish the gifts series, and I'm going to talk about tongues and the sign gifts, those signifying gifts. The gifts of an apostle, of a true apostle, Paul said, were signs and wonders and miracles. And is God still doing that today like he did it in the apostolic age? That is something that people have debated for a while. And so we're going to look at the scripture to see what exactly does it say and what are we seeing today? Is that a move of the Holy Spirit, or is that something counterfeit?
I think with every gift, the enemy comes in and wants to counterfeit it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, are there counterfeits out there? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely there are.
Well, one of the gifts, and you have this gift, is the gift of discernment. Mm-hmm. And being able to distinguish spirits and to be able to discern between good and evil, as it says in Hebrews 5:14. Now, that's for every Christian is supposed to be able to do that, but some people are very, very gifted in that, and they're able to very quickly determine if, hey, there's something not right about this, mm-hmm. and they just sense that. You're like that often.
Yes.
With people or with situations. Mm-hmm. Be careful here. This is not, mm-hmm. you know, watch your step. You're getting ready to walk in a landmine, and you got to be careful with that.
Well, and you know, I'm not Mrs. Bible like you're Mr. Bible, but I can so often be listening to a teaching, not yours, of course, but I can be listening to another teaching, and something just doesn't sit right with me, and that's a huge red flag, like, whoa, hold on, you know. And I go back and I kind of research, or I'll talk to you about something that I read, and I think, I don't know about that. There's just a check in my spirit. And so I get that in different situations. I had that just the other day in a shopping experience when I was in a store, mm-hmm. and I just noticed these two gentlemen just kind of wandering around, and they would watch me periodically, and I mean my radar was just on high alert. Mm-hmm. And so I think women by and large, just by nature as nurturers, we have a certain level of discernment. That doesn't mean that part of it is a spiritual gift, but I think women have a lot of that just naturally within their temperaments.
Women's intuition, yeah.
Right, exactly.
That's for sure. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today, and I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve, and along with my wife, Debbie, and we talked about spiritual gifts. Maybe you want to share this with somebody that is going through a prayer time, maybe a young believer saying, well, how has God gifted me? This can be a help to them. And let your pastor know about the AFA event with pastors and their wives on Tuesday, March 26th. We'd love to see you there. Your pastor and his wife, it's all free. It's just a gift from American Family Association to your pastor. So go out today, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and I'll be with you again tomorrow as I talk to Richard Blackaby about his dad, who is now in heaven, Henry Blackaby. It's going to be a great discussion. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.